bank on this.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Wall Street will be looking closely at financial institutions this week. Earnings reports are expected from J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs in the coming days. Wells Fargo last week said it expects record profits for the first quarter, and the market surged with that news. You know who else is watching the banks? A government oversight committee, one that's been keeping an eye on bank bailout money. The Wall Street Journal this morning reports it's launched an investigation into the hiking of interest rates and fees at banks that took bailout cash. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Elizabeth Warren, head of the Congressional Oversight Panel, told the Wall Street Journal it's like asking taxpayers to pay twice, once through billions in bailout money and again through exorbitant new charges. Warren says the panel is working on a report on potentially inappropriate lending practices. Like Bank of America slapping up to $10 in new fees on a wide range of credit card transactions. Or Citigroup advertising $5,000 loans without mentioning in the flyer they carry an annual interest rate of 30%. Other banks, like Pacific Capital Bancorp, Wells Fargo, and U.S. Bancorp, offer short-term emergency loans with interest rates topping 100% a year. The banks are unapologetic about their higher charges. The banking industry says it relies on these fees for a quarter of its revenue, and it needs to recoup its mortgage losses somewhere. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
It was another week, albeit short week, of gains on Wall Street. U.S. markets reopened today following a long holiday weekend. That's after the Dow closed Thursday at 80.83. It's up almost a quarter from its March lows. But the Dow is still down about 8% for the year. No trading in Europe today as part of the holiday weekend there. And some Asian markets are quiet as well. The Nikkei was open and shed about 0.5%. The Chinese benchmark added nearly 3% on news that bank lending in China surged last month. China is promising an infusion of $25 billion for its Asian neighbors. It is yet another high-profile deal that follows up on its high-profile G20 summit performance earlier this month. Our China bureau chief, Scott Tong, is with us from Shanghai. Scott, much of this money is for infrastructure in the so-called ASEAN countries, Southeast Asian nations. Why is China doing this?
Well, China wants to help them do it for its own reasons. First of all, China's not been blessed by Mother Nature as far as raw materials, so it needs to get them somewhere, by ship or by rail or by canal, and this will help them get those. It also helps, after China makes all these products to export to the world, it helps them get products to markets in Southeast Asia. And for the countries that are receiving this, obviously they want better ports and railroads in general, so arguably it's a win-win situation.
So, Scott, the devil's advocate in me, though, says this sounds a whole lot like China buying influence. Is that what's going on here?
There's a big debate about this, and I think it just depends on how you see China. If you see China as a more responsible stakeholder in the world, that this is just a natural manifestation of its economic clout, you'll see it that way. This is just kind of natural. In fact, a lot of opinion polls in Southeast Asia find China's reputation is getting better, and it's better than Washington's reputation. If you think there's something darker, you start uttering words like Monroe Doctrine and sphere of influence, that China is rewriting the rules of foreign aid and kind of nudging aside these old institutions like the World Bank.
So what can go wrong with all of this then?
Well, Steve, Americans know how it can go wrong. If you think about Halliburton, you think about Katrina, we always wonder how companies get these giant deals. On this side of the world, China has a big deal with Pakistan to sell trains for Pakistan Rail. Now, late last week, a scandal started brewing there that the Chinese company involved, which actually beat an American competitor, General Electric, in the process, it got the deal, according to Pakistani officials, through fake paperwork.
So how did they defend themselves then against those charges?
Well, the Chinese companies in the middle of these controversies tend not to say much. But academics in China who watch these things, they say, hey, you know what? China is new at this, and if it's making these mistakes, it's because it's never had to deal with these international transparent rules before. And the optimist would say, well, these Chinese companies are going to learn their lesson, they're going to get burned, and in the future, it'll get better.
Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from Shanghai. Scott, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
You can add Chinese drywall to the list of things that can cause harm to you or items in your home. The product can apparently give off fumes that can corrode copper pipes, blacken jewelry, and possibly make people sick. The Consumer Product Safety Commission in several states are investigating.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
There's an annual gambling conference that starts in Phoenix today. The National Indian Gaming Association wants to keep people coming to tribal casinos in the midst of the fallout. It's not easy. Some tribes are having to cut frills or find alternative means of income. Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll has more on the conference.
When money's tight, who's gambling? Doug Elmitz is a spokesman for California Indian Casinos. He says a lot of folks, actually.
The reality of the situation is that most gaming casinos are still making an awful lot of money.
True, the $26 billion industry isn't living as high and wild as it once was, but the same number of people are walking through casino doors. They're just betting less. So to cope, Indian casinos are slimming down. Gone are the spas, hotels, and golf courses added when times were flush. Steve Light is co-director of the University of North Dakota's Tribal Gaming Institute. He says tribes are spreading around their investments.
What a number of tribes have done in terms of industry, it ranges from things like making the Kevlar vests that our troops use in Iraq and Afghanistan to actually chocolatiers.
He says that doesn't mean Indian gaming is gone. Far from it. Tribes are just hedging their bets. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website. We have the trading floor, the scratch pad with our online blogger, Scott Jagow, all there inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.